Hello, and welcome to The Check-In, our weekday forum for community connection and conversation here on KBIA. Thanks for being here on this Friday. Happy Friday. And on Fridays, we have a routine now. We look for fun and inspiration wherever we can find it. Helping us to do this today is Vox Magazine's editorial director, Heather Lamb. Vox Magazine is our source in Colombia for in-depth and engaging explorations of what's happening in Como culture and the culture at large. Heather also is a professor and colleague of ours at the Missouri School of Journalism. So we'll be talking to Heather Lamb over the next half hour about the landscape of art and culture in Colombia. You can join our conversation today. Let us know what you're doing, how you're getting through this crisis. Is art helping you through? Are you creating? And before we dive into the art and culture scene with Heather Lamb, I want to say happy Ramadan to many in the community who are fasting throughout the day and praying as they do every year. But this year, Ramadan is happening virtually, and here to help us figure out how that's going for the Muslim community here in Colombia is Shakir Hammoudi. Mr. Hammoudi is a leader in the mosque here at the Islamic Center for Central Missouri. Mr. Shakir Hammoudi, thank you so much for joining us on the check-in today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Yes, and I guess I should say Ramadan Kareem.
Thank you. Thank you.
So how is Ramadan happening with the community right now? I know it's a time where many people love gathering for prayers and at the mosque. And that's not easy to do right now with a stay-at-home order and people wanting to stay safe. How is it going? How are the prayer and fasting and the rituals of Ramadan taking place right now in Colombia?
Okay, well, to give your audience an idea about Ramadan, it is a month of the year where we fast every day, not continuously the 30 days, but every day is a separate fast by itself. And we refrain from food, drink, and intimate relationships between the dawn, which is about 5 a.m., and to sunset, which is about 8 p.m. So that is basically what we do. So no drink, nothing, no juice, no soda. Hopefully the fasting will be probably an occasion for us to discipline ourselves, maybe get rid of some bad habits if we have some. And also, and most importantly, is to fulfill the command of the Creator when he commanded us to do the fasting as one of the pillars, the five pillars of Al-Islam. But also we have another lesson to take from Ramadan is when we get hungry, probably, and most likely we remember there are millions throughout the world who are fasting not by choice, but because they do not find the necessity in life of food and drink. So we hope that that occasion will compel us to extend the hand of mercy toward them, whether they are local or overseas. So this is what we do in fasting in general in this month. Here in Columbia, Missouri, we have a beautiful facility, the Islamic Center of Central Missouri in Locust and the 5th Street in downtown. And we used, before Corona era, we used to assemble there every night at before sunset. And we enjoy a wonderful meal every night by variety of people from every corner of the world, whether it's from Bosnia, from the Middle East, from America, from whatever. Those people who are in our community, we have more than 40 nationality here worship in the Islamic Center. And we enjoy the meal, and we break our fast and socialize a little bit, and then we go into a nightly prayer. And most nights we do not go back home before midnight.
Yes.
So every night it is an occasion to really remember, get together for short advices, and see what other members in the community are doing and taking care of the needs of the others. Here at this year, after what happened with Corona, this beautiful scenario has ceased to exist, and now we cannot even go to the masjid. not because we do not want to, but because we feel very responsible that this is putting us at risk if we do. And that's why our community decided to close the masjid very early on. In fact, even before the city decided to close the, you know, the businesses here in town.
Yes, and that sounds like a really hard decision, especially right now. And now is where it's really having an impact, these kinds of closures, aren't they, for people of faith and faith communities? So, go ahead, Mr. Hamoudi. How are you dealing with this in the community? What are the workarounds for this?
Yeah, so we do not assemble and any time in the facility, so we have canceled the meal, but instead we are distributing the Ramadan books to those people, especially the singles who are in town and they do not have the means maybe to have a hot meal every night. So we are giving them some food to enjoy, hopefully.
Okay.
And even those families who are in need, they can come and pick a box. That is what, at least one of the elements that we could substitute. The other one is all the educational activities that we used to give in the month of Ramadan and beyond Ramadan. Now we are going live through Zoom online, and we give all the lectures, all the advices and short talks. And even the Islamic School of Columbia, Missouri, also they shifted to online classes. So we did not really stop the school, the program of the school, like the public school, because our school is small and the parents are willing to help the teachers supervise their kids at home.
Okay.
So this is something that is wonderful. We can at least get together and benefit our children and not let them lose this opportunity of education when this is all over.
Right.
Some of the lessons that I could probably share with the community at large from this corona, and that we are compelled to be at home, not by choice. Mm-hmm. By choice. We feel that this dilemma has really compelled us into our sizes and our responsibilities in life. Mm-hmm. That we have to realize that the human being is created very weak and is subject to the tiny creature who could really just stop the life of the individual and the communities and the countries throughout the globe. So we see and appreciate the power of the Creator and how weak we are as compared to His capacity. So this is something to humble us and to put us in our own size and our own capacity. So this is hopefully a lesson to take. Also that we have to realize that this virus really never distinguished between us according to the color or how much we have in our bank account, or where I come from, which country, or where I was born, or what faith I believe in. This virus came and inflicted harm on all of us, whether directly or indirectly. The fact that we are at home and we do not go out, this by itself is a painful process that we have to endure. The other benefit is probably this is going to teach us a lesson in getting rid of racism, and that is very, very important for us, that when this virus is attacking all of us, we have to feel and act as brothers and sisters in humanity, rather than saying, I am better than the other, or I am better than my neighbor, or I am better than the one who worshiped differently or who came from a different part of the world. So hopefully that will humble us also. The other point is I see that those who are at the front line defending us, the doctors and the nurses and everyone who is on front line providing our energy, our water, you know, taking our trash, these people are there sacrificing themselves and their families for our sake. So we have really to appreciate what they do. And among them are Muslims. We have so many Muslims who are doctors and nurses, and in almost every hospital in the U.S. And we lost many of them to this virus. So they are doing their job in the best way possible. So we should not look at Muslims as enemies or people who are strangers. No, we are part of the fabric of this country and this society. So hopefully this is another lesson that we can get together as brothers and sisters, help one another, and feel that we are in the same boat. And our responsibility is to take care of this boat so as we reach the shore of safety in the best and safest way possible.
Well, thank you so much for that, Mr. Shakir Hamoudi. Let me just remind listeners you're listening to The Check-In, and it's Friday here on KBIA. We are checking in with a leader and teacher and imam, as you can hear, sharing a lesson, a Ramadan lesson with us today. Mr. Hamoudi is from the Islamic Center of Central Missouri. We're going to be talking throughout this half hour with Vox Magazine editorial director Heather Lamb about culture in this crisis. We're starting out with a little bit of a spiritual lesson from Mr. Hamoudi today on a Friday to take us into the weekend. Mr. Hamoudi, thank you so much for joining us. You really kind of answered all of my questions with all of that, but I really appreciate you joining us with this Ramadan lesson today to take us into the weekend here on The Check-In. I wish you and everyone observing Ramadan right now the very best, and again, Ramadan Kareem.
Thank you for the opportunity, and Ramadan Kareem, Ramadan Mubarak, to all Muslims and non-Muslims alike. We are all brothers and sisters. We are all creations of the same God. And Ramadan is one of his 12 months that he dictated centuries and millenniums ago. Thank you. Thank you, Janet.
Thank you so much, Mr. Hamoudi. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
So now, for the rest of our culture conversation. That was quite a lesson to get us started. Now we're going to take that with us and move on to Heather Lamb. Heather, thanks so much for joining us on The Check-In today. How are you doing?
Oh, of course. Good afternoon for having me.
Thanks, Heather. So we're going to dive into a conversation just about the landscape of culture in Colombia. And it's really cool to be able to talk to you about this because sometimes I run into you on campus and throughout the J School, and we immediately start talking about culture and journalism and things that are going on. So I'm really glad to just get your perspective on the crisis and culture and art in our community, because you're with Vox covering these things all the time. So let me just start by asking you, Heather, how do you feel like, from your vantage point as someone who's covering culture and inspiration and our society and exploring these issues all the time in Colombia, how do you see Colombia faring right now through these crises? What are the kind of takeaways that you've seen when it comes to how people are doing?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, I think one of the things is that Colombia is such a rich cultural city, and that there's a lot going on here all the time with the arts. Some of that is because of its relationship with the university. There's so much going on all the time. And so I think one of the things I've been really impressed with and inspired by, you know, as we've all been kind of driven inside, and especially with the arts, you know, audiences are not a thing that can exist in an in-person way right now.
Yeah.
So I've been really just inspired by the creativity of this community, which in some ways shouldn't come as a surprise because the arts are a creative endeavor. But, you know, they've across the board, I just see example after example of, you know, whether they're authors or visual artists or musicians, whatever it is, figuring out ways to take that creativity and use it in new ways. I think one of the toughest challenges is, you know, and I was thinking about this a little bit this morning, you know, kind of preparing for this and just, you know, what are some of the takeaways? There's, you know, when you think about arts, there's passive and active, right? Mm. And so, you know, when you are reading a book, you're interacting with an author, but it's more of a passive relationship. The author isn't sitting there, you know, as you're reading his or her novel. You know, in some ways, somewhat the same with visual arts, film, those kinds of things. And then you have more of the participatory, like active audiences, where you're going to see, you know, a symphony performance, or you're going to see a musician perform, those kinds of things. And I think across the board, in some ways, being driven indoors has forced all artists to be more active. Because, so for instance, Lisa Bartlett of Artlandish told us in a story that is in current issue, how she's, you know, started putting videos on her YouTube channel showing her artistic process. That normally wouldn't be something that you get to see outside of something like First Fridays and visiting people's studios. And so, you know, we've taken these kind of passive mediums and invited, you know, the audience in a way that I think is unique. And in some ways, that to me is another takeaway just with everything that's been going on. You know, things are more personal because, you know, as people, even in my job as a professor, like, you know, I'm inviting students somewhat into my home by just having video calls and, you know, here's my cat and, you know, there's my daughter or whatever it is. And so, and it's the same thing with artisans, is that they're inviting, you know, as we're distant, we're also getting more personal kind of at the same time. And so it's this kind of interesting dichotomy that's going on there. But
this is all great, Heather. And I love the way you're talking about passive and active art in Columbia. When I think of the Columbia art scene, I think active art, I think of group art and True False and people gathered at Skylark and people gathered on, you know, First Fridays. So, and lo and behold, Heather, you're talking about Lisa Bartlett with Artlandish, and we happen to have Lisa on the line who called us in. So let me just welcome Lisa into the conversation. How are you doing, Lisa?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
So it's almost like Heather conjured you here, but what are you, what's on your mind? Heather was mentioning how you have videos and you're really creating art virtually and sharing them and connecting with people virtually. How's that going? Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I would love to. You know, it's interesting because there's several aspects to it that make it just a strange dichotomy. First, it's, you know, it's a whole nother way of putting yourself out there. You know, like, for instance, here I am talking on the radio, but I don't love hearing my voice. And I know people, other people might feel that way. And so that you just have to do it. I mean, it is my voice. It's what I have to use. And so making videos and talking on them, it was just a whole new ball game. And then you have to learn, okay, well, how do you do this? What's the setup? And how are you going to make this even look good? And what are people interested in? What do they want to hear? You know, that's something I'm still figuring out because, you know, watching someone paint incessantly to me is boring. So, you know, luckily we have time lapse that speeds stuff.
Well, it's very nice to hear your voice, Lisa, and I'm glad you're getting over that and putting the videos and your work out there. That's amazing. Thank you so much for calling in today, Lisa. Heather, did you have any comments for Lisa before she goes?
No, I'm just so happy to, you know, be able to talk to you for the for this last issue. And I think, you know, you and your shop are just such a great outlet too for artisans in this community. And I've always just appreciated everything you do. So.
Yeah. And you can check out the story that Vox and Heather has produced on Lisa Bartlett and Artlandish and other visual artists sort of making splashes despite the crisis and through the crisis. You can check that out at Vox Magazines. Lisa, thank you so much again for calling in and keep putting your voice out there.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Have a nice day.
Thank you, Lisa.
Bye-bye.
So let me just remind everyone, you are checking in with us right now on The Check-In. Happy Friday. We're talking with Heather Lamb, editorial director of Vox Magazine. She's also a professor in the MU Journalism School. She covers culture in Colombia, and right now that means covering culture through crisis. Heather, we have another call from someone that we wanted to hear from today. Kelsey Hammond with the Colombia Art League is also coordinating a lot of artists in Colombia through this time and through this crisis and doing some interesting things. Kelsey, thanks for checking in with us.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
So how are things going from your vantage point with the Colombia Art League? You're sort of coordinating, you're an organization point for artists. What are you seeing during this crisis?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely strange times for sure, but I think there's a, you know, the sense of community online already in the art world is strong, and I think that the Art League has really functioned in this extremely in-person way for so long because, you know, it's a place where we show group galleries, we have big receptions, we our members who are, you know, who come to the gallery to take classes or to show their work or sell their artworks in our retail area. It's very much modeled on this in-person experience. And so we are kind of just taking a note from people who have already been sort of functioning online for a long time of how can we kind of bring a slice of the Colombia Art League to this virtual space for right now and, you know, maybe also in the future in addition to having, you know, being in person with each other when we can do that safely. So that's kind of been the trick for us right now is to, you know, communicate with our artists and also to come up with some fun ways for people to participate in something and still feel that community feeling, you know. So one of the things that we did was we came up with a social media challenge for people. So if you, we put out a prompt every week on Sunday that says, you know, like this week's prompt is to make something with watercolor. So it can be anything, you know, it can be something, just the tree outside your window that you've been staring at while you've been working at home, or it could be, you know, something from the walk that you take every day or whatever, or something inside your house. Just make it in watercolor, post it on your own Facebook or Instagram page, and use the hashtag ComoCalChallenge. Okay. And then what we do at the end of the week is we then do like a roundup of all of the artworks that people have made, and then we post them on our own social media and kind of include those artists who are working in their own spaces into our space so that everyone who follows our social media page can see what those artists are doing. So that's been a really fun and I think successful way to kind of keep the community, you know, engaged and working. And every week we see new people joining. So that's been really fun to see.
That's incredible. So there's a prompt, there's a little bit of a challenge, there's a lot of connection going on and a community that you're building through that. So that's very cool. And people can find that at Colombia Art League online. Sure. You know, our producer, Christopher Husted, had a question. Is some of the art that you're seeing, Kelsey, reflective of the fact that we're in a pandemic right now? Are people dealing with this crisis through art, or are people sort of expressing themselves about everything else and avoiding that topic?
You know, the stuff that I've seen has been kind of what Heather was talking about, is sort of vulnerable and intimate scenes of everyday life, you know, sort of like not necessarily like processing feelings about what the pandemic means, but more looking at still life, or again, that tree outside your window, or I don't know if anyone else is really involved in like the natural world outside, like the squirrels seem to be having some kind of like parliament discussion over here, you know, like I feel very involved in the nature that's happening outside my window. So
yes.
Somehow the artwork that people are making seems to be kind of self-reflective and more involved in their intimate space that they are. You know, we're indoors more, we're in our own spaces, so it's actually reflecting, the stuff that I've seen is reflecting that more, but I have a feeling as we move forward and as things keep changing with the pandemic, we're going to see that larger, you know, feeling of what does this all mean and how do we get through this, and because things are still changing. So I think it'll show up soon. It's just right now it seems to be people are kind of keeping close to the vest about stuff.
Yes, that's interesting. The same question actually was brought up, or a similar question on Housebound Unbound last night, where some of the writers were asked, do you want to write about coronavirus? And
right.
Alex George was quick to say not at all, but a couple of them did say, you know, it'll take some time to step back. And I think
right.
that we'll process this and then it might come out in our artwork at another time.
Yeah.
Heather Lamb, do you have any reactions to what Kelsey is describing here with what's going on at Columbia Art League and with the artist?
You know, this idea of creating while stressed, you know, mm-hmm. I think anybody involved in a creative endeavor, you know, and we're all feeling, I think, some level of stress. And so I've seen kind of the same thing where I feel like what a lot of artists are doing right now is more just reflecting kind of the daily life, because the processing part is going to take a lot longer. And, you know, I think there will be a shift at some point where, you know, kind of processing this whole period of time through art will be kind of the, you know, what we start to see as the year goes on and as we, you know, eventually kind of come out the other side of at least this period that we're in right now. So it's, you know, art has always been a reflection of whatever is going on in society. And this is, you know, something that touches every human.
Yeah, very well said. Kelsey, let me just say thank you so much for calling in. I know that you are photographing probably a lot yourself right now.
Yeah, I am.
That's great. I want to continue the conversation with you, so please call us again. We also want to talk with you and keep up the conversation about Yellow Dog. You're also the co-owner of Yellow Dog. So we'll connect with you there, too. So thank you so much. Have a great weekend and stay well.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye, Kelsey. Heather, there's so much that I would love to keep talking with you about that's in Vox, but we're running out of time. I just want to say, you know, I've enjoyed the eat and drink section of Vox has turned into a how to do this amazing coffee, smoothie / cocktail at home, cooking at home. And so it's a real lifeline and kind of a community with that. You've also got chickens, which seems to be a thing. So much I wanted to ask you about, but we're running out of time. So let me just ask you, Heather, really anything that you want to add to close out, but I'm also just curious, you know, about what you've learned about our community and our culture here in Columbia through this crisis.
Oh, goodness. I mean, I think the one thing, and this has been something I've been thinking really over the past month, is the dedication of the local shop owners in this community is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And I think my hope is that on the other side of this, that we as consumers of all of, whether it's local restaurants or local bookshops or local artists or whatever it is, that we appreciate what it means to be living in the same community with the people you're purchasing those kinds of things from, because they have, you know, figured out ways to get books to your door or get, you know, your favorite meal, you know, up to your car and do it in a no contact way.
Yes.
You know, in a way that I just think is just emphasizes how important supporting our local businesses really is, because they are here supporting us and they're part of the same community. We're all in this together. And so that to me is what's been on my mind a lot and what I feel is hopefully like one of the lessons kind of on the other side of it, is that, you know, that relationship is really important. And I think the pandemic has kind of emphasized that for us.
Thanks so much, Heather. Great last words. Good luck with Vox. And thank you for checking in with us today.
Thank you.
Bye, Heather. So that's it for the check-in today. Thanks so much to Mr. Shakir Hammoudi of Heather Lamb with Vox Magazine and Kelsey Hammond with Columbia Art League for checking in with us today. Thank you for checking in. Have a great weekend. We will be back Monday, same time, same place. I'm Janet Saidi. Stay well and stay in touch.